Shalom.
We're in Ein Ayah, Rav Kook's commentary on Masechet Shabbat, on the Agadata, on the philosophical stories. Chapter 2, paragraph 21, that's Kaf Aleph. And we've been discussing the idea of what oils are good for making dio, for making ink. And Rav Kook has been explaining that ink obviously represents literature, writing, and olive oil represents Torah, and the other oils represent different types of wisdom. Now we have a new idea. Amar Rav Huna, kol hasrafim yafim l'dio, v'saraf kataf yafem mikulam. All of the, now we're going to talk about the sraf, the sap, right? Different plants have sap. The sap, the juice, for all the plants is good for making ink. V'saraf kataf, but the sap of the kataf, which is the balsam plant, is the best of all of them. The sraf, we know this from Pitum Haktoret. Anybody who wants to see a picture? Professor Rav Yehuda Feller from Bar Ilan has a very good book on. Let's see, this is the balsam plant. It's also called the Shemen Afar Simon, that we know from many different places in Shas. According to the one Agarita, that this is the special fragrance, spices, perfume that the Queen of Sheba brought with her from Africa. And they planted it near Yam HaMelach, and afterwards Eretz Yisrael became world famous for this special fragrance. And we say it every day in Pitum HaKtoret, in Eretz Yisrael, where we say Pitum HaKtoret every day, that what is the tsari? Hatsari eno el asraf hanotef mi'atzei hakataf. Right? That the, what is tsari, which is one of the things that we put in the Ktoret, in the incense, in the Beit HaMikdash, in the temple. Tzori is just the sap that comes out of the balsam, or the Afar Simon plant. In other words, we know it from perfume, but you should know that that's also one of the senses from the Ktoret. And here the Gemara is telling us that all of the saps are good for ink, but the sap of the kataf is the best. Rav Kook explains, "Yesh bazeh smuchot gam ken le'ara moila." The Chazal here, in their symbolism, in their symbolic writing, they're also giving us another pointer regarding good literature, good rabbinic literature, all literature in general.
ישנם ספרים נכתבים מידי מחברים כאלה, שהמקצוע שהם כותבים איננו עיקר עסק שלהם בעיון.
Here Rav Kook is wording it very politely, that there are some authors who might be very good and very competent, even specialists in a certain field, but very often, after they've become a bestseller in a certain field, they allow themselves also to pretend to be specialists in other fields where they have no idea what they're talking about.
והם ברוב הפעמים אינם משובחים, ועלולים לשגיאות, לטעות ולהטעות.
Very often, especially if a author, a poet, a thinker, a politician, an athlete, very often he might have an agenda. And because, especially if he's a politician or he has a certain ideology in his writings, and very often he will bring that agenda into another field which is totally unrelated, and it brings him to make mistakes. Not that he's a bad person, but he twists the writings, he misunderstands, and that way he also, other people also misunderstand. Now, Rav Kook obviously doesn't mention any names here. My educated guess, even if he's not referring here to Chaim Nachman Bialik, because we don't know exactly when he wrote this, Ein Ayah on Shabbat, part of it was written in his younger years in Boisk, And we know that he went back to writing it also in his later years. Whether he's referring to Bialik or not, we'll just bring them as an example. Chaim Nachman Bialik, as we know, was a great poet. Rav Kook himself calls him, I have a letter here, Meshorerenu Hanizgav, our lofty, exalted poet. Some call him HaMeshorer HaLeumi. That's his nickname, our national poet. And Bialik learned in Vlazhin as a youngster. He was a yeshiva boy. His famous poem, HaMatmid, the boy who's so glued to a seat in learning Torah. We also know that he left religion for a while. And we also know that there's an interesting story about Rav Kook, where I believe we're talking about the 20s, maybe the early 30s, where Rav Kook was on vacation with his son Rav Tzvi Yehuda in Har HaKarmel in Haifa. It's very nice air there, the beach. And when Rav Kook got prepared to come back to Yerushalayim for Rosh Hashanah, right, Chief Rabbi, he has a lot of drashot, halacha questions, he suggested to Rav Tzvi Yehuda to stay in Haifa. And Rav Tzvi Yehuda didn't understand. You know, he wants to be with his family, with his father, Rosh Hashanah, here is drashot. But he figured that maybe it has something to do with briyut, with health. Maybe he wasn't feeling well. His father wanted him to... Anyway, he didn't understand, but he didn't ask. And over Rosh Hashanah, Bialik happened to stay at the same hotel as Rav Tzvi Yehuda in Haifa. And they had Rosh Hashanah as 2 days. Maybe it was next to Shabbat like we have. We don't know how many days it was. Rav Tzvi Yehuda, Rav Kook's son, learned Orot HaTshuvah with Bialik. And Bialik was blown away by the beauty, by the depth, by the poetry, the thought, the originality, the light of Orot HaTshuvah. And he writes Rav Kook a very, very warm and honoring letter, how much Orot HaTshuvah influenced him. And we know that he came back to religion. Why do I mention Bialik? Bialik... today, most people know him correctly for his poetry. But he also wrote a famous sefer called Sefer HaAgadah, which used to be a classic bar mitzvah gift. And what he did is, together with his professor Ravnitsky, also a maskil, an enlightened Jew, I don't know how religious he was, they translated the many, many midrashim and agadatot to modern Hebrew. And... on the one hand, they brought a lot of agadatot to the tzibur harachav, to the mass public, easy Hebrew, sifruti, and also Bialik definitely, he was very strong into Jewish culture. Nevertheless, the fact that he wasn't a Talmid Chacham, even without checking it out, I have no doubt that there are some mistakes there. Even a better example is Bialik, today most people don't even know, that he wrote a perush on the Mishnah. And he sent a copy to Rav Kook, and Rav Kook's reaction doesn't appear anywhere in any of his books. But this is one of those examples that you got to read in between the writing. I don't know how Simcha Raz got this letter, but he got a copy of this letter, which is found in Malachim Kibnei Adam, which doesn't appear in any of Rav Kook's books. Where he refers, he writes to Bialik and he says, thank you very much for sending me your commentary on the Masechet Brachot. And he says, I don't have time to go through it now. I would like very much to go through it. And Bli Neder, I'll send you He'arot, as is the custom when you send a book to a rabbi. And he says, I'll adjust my ear that I just saw the first Mishnah. And in the first Mishnah, he doesn't say, I just saw the first Mishnah, but he says, something along the lines, like already in the first Mishnah, I see that when you talk about the first Mishnah Brachot, Perek Aleph Mishnah Aleph talks about kolan echalim liyom echad, korbanot, which are eaten for 1 day. And Bialik explains, is talking about the Kohanim who eat korbanot for 1 day. Rav Kook says, why only Kohanim? Right, there are plenty of korbanot, like the korban shlamim, which is eaten by the person who brings the korban. And, you know, it's true that kohanim have the main role in the korbanot, but it's misleading. People just think that's just the kohanim. In other words, Rav Kook is saying, I'll give another example of an article that I gave a shiur here once on the yeshuv. I wrote an extensive article that will be published by Zat Hashem in a couple of months on the question of skipping stories in the Tanakh which aren't so tsanua, right? Things not for the children, as they say. Yehuda and Tamar and Reuven and Bilha and David and Bathsheba and all those type of stories. And it's very, very clear from the Tosefta. It says explicitly that when the Rebbe is learning this with children, he should not skip anything. Right? You learn it properly. Obviously, you learn it in a tsanua, in a modest form, maybe not going into all the details, but you don't skip. That's if HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it in the Torah, and he knows that Vishinantam Levanech, you're supposed to learn Torah with your children from a young age, you don't consider yourself a better educator than God. Bialik was the leader, one of the leaders of the school of thought that says no. There are a lot of stories in the Tanakh which aren't suitable for children. And just like the Christians do this all the time. As a matter of fact, we spoke about this at Trago's. I remember that's where we spoke about it. I was very, very surprised that the vast majority of the Christian Bible education is not from the Bible, but it's from what they call children's Bibles, which by the title then infers that they look at it just as legitimate, and it's a collection of Bible stories, and even those are censored, and they're mistranslated, and they're very megamati. And Bialik, as there was a Dr. Sharfman, Professor Sharfstein, in the seminary, and there were I found four or five maskilim who this apparently was the enlightened idea that, you know, that we are enlightened and we protect children from things that might corrupt them. And Bialik was the leader of that ideology. And again, Rav Kook isn't giving examples and he's not mentioning Bialik by name, but this Bialik considered himself a jack of all trades, and he's writing a commentary on the Mishnah, and he's writing a commentary on the Agadita, and he considers himself the mumche, greater than all the rabbis of all the generations in history, that he knows what to teach children better than anyone. Rav Kook is saying, that smacks of gava, of arrogance, because nobody is the jack of all trades, especially poets, right? And Rav Kook has a very nice, we once learned 3 years ago in Sefer Orot on page 120, a book about a ma'amar about Chacham Adif Minavi, basically Gemara Baba Batra, that scholars are greater than prophets. And he goes on to say that the modern expression of this idea is that society needs also poets and also doctors, engineers. Where the job of the poet is good, it's emotional, it describes a phenomena very emotionally, helps point us at that phenomena, but the poets, they don't solve the problems, they're not the analysts. And Rav Kook is saying this is a very common problem. Do you remember in the, was it two elections ago when Benjamin Netanyahu brought in, he wanted to strengthen the Likud, he brought in Tal Brody, the greatest basketball player in Maccabi Tel Aviv history, and Pnina Rosenblum, the beauty queen of her cosmetics. She is a self-made woman of the largest cosmetic company. He wanted to bring them in to bolster the Likud ticket. Now, yeah, I don't know if you ever thought of it. What other country in the world, aside from a Jewish country, could have a beauty queen named Pnina Rosenblum? You know, that wouldn't go in America. But what does she know about politics? right? The fact that Tal Brody was an All-American from University of Illinois and probably the greatest Israeli basketball player of all time, drafted by the Baltimore Bullets, and at a time where there were only like seven teams in the league, he really was something. But what does he know about politics?
You asked about Ronald Reagan, president of the United States.
That's also
was a B-movie actor.
He didn't go from acting to be president. Yeah.
He continued acting. There's a common problem. I remember as a kid, I might even be suffering to this day. I have an ulcer, and I used to drink as a kid the juice, sauerkraut juice. Where did I pick up this habit of drinking sauerkraut juice, which is just, you know, citric acid, very concentrated? Because I once read a biography by the boxer Archie Moore. He was a heavyweight boxer, and he writes that he strengthened his stomach muscles by drinking sauerkraut juice. So as a kid, I used to drink sauerkraut juice and pickle juice, and you know, the fact that he's a heavyweight boxer, that has nothing to do with the fact that he knows anything about medicine or biology or anything. And that's what Rav Kook is saying. By the way, there's the beauty queens is the greatest example, you know, because they get them to ask their opinion about politics, and in Israel, you know, they ask movie stars and katavim, and you know, we also have, why should Yair Lapid, who happens to be a good reporter, right, or a very handsome person and also a boxer, what does that make him a good minister of treasury? Right? And Rav Kook is basically saying every specialist should stay in their field. And if they're not smart enough to stay in their field, you don't have to listen to them. Okay? Again, יש בזה סמוכות גם כן להרמוילה. ישנם ספרים נכתבים מדי מחברים כאלה שהמקצוע שהם כותבים איננו עיקר עסק שלהם בעיון. והם ברוב הפעמים אינם משובחים ועלולים לשגיאות, לטעות ולעטות, לטעות ולעטות. אמנם, על מה יש לתן ערך מובחר? What should we give the preference? על הידיעות הנחקקות בספר, שבעליהן שם עיקר מעיינו בכל כוחותיו על החוכמה שבה יכתב ספריו. If a person is a great boxer and he wants to write about boxing, oh, that you can listen to him. A person is a great poet and he wants to write about poetry. Every person has to stick to their field, and if you're wise, you will go to the specialist to listen to him regarding his specialty. הידיעה הזאת מועילה מאוד להישמר ממכשול לב. Right? This is very good advice that will save us from making many mistakes. And there's also regarding Rabbanim. Chazal say that Tavom Me'ara, a curse should come on a person, even a learned person, Shelo Higia Lahura'a V'more, that he's paskening halacha when he hasn't really gotten to that stage in learning. He doesn't have smicha. Even if he has smicha, there are different questions. You know, most rabbis who learn for smicha, so that means that they learn shach and taz on Yoreh Deh. It doesn't mean they know Orach Chaim, right? Hopefully they do, right? But in other words, a person should know what he knows, know what he doesn't know, and even more important, as a listener, as a student, as a reader, check up on every person, what their background is, what their specialty is, and that way you learn a lot and the best from each specialist in every field.
כי מפני החציפות הנמצאת בהרבה אנשים מושכי בשבט סופר.
Rav Kook here is saying that it's very common among writers that they think highly of themselves, right? They overrate themselves.
לחוות דעתם בדבר שאינם מומחים לו,
that they will express their opinion on things that they don't really know about,
כמו ענייני התורה, האמונה, דרכי היראה, והמוסר וחיות באלה יצא משפט מעוקל.
And here again, we don't know exactly who Rav Kook was referring to, but for example, Ben Gurion, he had a chug in Tanakh. where they used to get together once a week and learn Tanakh. And Ben-Gurion, as we all know, was very opinionated. He was very intelligent, right? Rav Kook says, learn Rashi and Radak and Ralbag and Nechama Leibovich before you learn Ben-Gurion on the Tanakh. The same thing, it's unbelievable. The old historians and the maskilim, it's hard to know because we don't know them, but you'll find Gretz, right? These are one of the classic Jewish historians. I'm talking about like the end of the 19th century, who they claim to know everything about everything. And sometimes, in the few topics that I know well, you catch them. But they don't write their sources, they don't have footnotes, and it's very, very misleading because you don't know what, if a person writes on 30 different topics, it's difficult to know what they really are specialists in. All right, Yitzchak Ben Tzvi is also a classic. He was the second president of Israel. He was a historian, he was an archaeologist. I'm not sure what he really knows and what he doesn't know. I'm not an archaeologist, I'm not a historian, but I know that if a person is also a politician, he can't be a mumch in all the fields, right? Yigael Yadin, he was an archaeologist, right?
He was a real archaeologist.
He was a real archaeologist, but again, also archaeologists very often, for example, the way he sees Masada through Zionist glasses may be a little different than the way somebody else sees Masada. It's just an example, but life is full of these examples. Alken, af ki lifamim yatza lekach tov gam ken mimi shelakach lo moed lachuk besefer divrei chokhma chutz letachlito hanoedet lo. Even though it is true, here's Rav Kook as usual, showing us the other side of the coin, there definitely sometimes is advantages of somebody when they do relate to something, even if it's not their tchum, their specialty. For example, the Abarbanel, who is a great commentator, very often he goes at length to explain different issues in politics that Rashi and the Radak, who are not politicians, they don't know what goes on behind the scenes. Barbanel, who is the Minister of Treasury, if I'm not mistaken, of Spain, right? He understood politics, and from the way he's writing, you could tell that he really knows what he's talking about. The same thing, it's possible, very, very possible, that when David Ben-Gurion reads or teaches Sefer Shoftim or Sefer Shmuel, about the infighting, or the ma'avakei koach, the power struggle between David and Shaul, or between Avshalom and David. It's very, very possible in this example that, yes, his specialty in politics or in the military can really give an interesting insight regarding Tanakh. In other words, don't be closed-minded. Don't say, I'm not going to read their book and I'm not going to touch it and they don't have anything to give. It's very possible that they do have what to give on, for sure, in their field of specialty.
You probably knew the geography very well, too.
For sure, geography. Aval kevan she'adavar etzlo tafel ein ze min ha'muvchar. But because by him this is not his field, then keep it in the right proportion. Take it with a grain of salt, read it critically. And by the way, it's interesting, also in the rabbinic world, this is also not uncommon, right? We all know that there are Roshei Yeshivot who excel in Hashkafa. Rav Hadari from Yeshivat HaKotel, I don't think he gave a shiur klali in Gemara, but everybody knew that regarding the writings of Rav Kook, regarding Moser, he was, right? Rav Tau also, Rav Tau doesn't give shiurim in Gemara, that's not his specialty. Sorry?
Rabbi Gun.
Yeah, he doesn't give shiurim in Gemara.
Gemara, no.
And by the way, the opposite also. The problem is more common, the opposite, where a Rosh Yeshiva who got his position, rightly so, deservedly so, because he gives great shiurim in Gemara, sometimes when it comes to paskening halacha, he Great Rabbanim, like Rav Soloveitchik always used to say, go to my cousin, Rav Moshe Feinstein, he's the posek. Sometimes a Rosh Hashiva gives drushot, you know, it's a shu dash lishit, or Friday night, and sometimes they're not exactly on the mark. And it's not, and Rav Kook here is also, this he'ara, this insight, is true also regarding Rabbanim. Know what you know, and know what you don't know.
Babich Rebbe was also careful to tell people, if you want a psak, go to a rav.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Even to his chassidim?
Yeah.
That's interesting, I didn't know that. there are Yotzi Min HaKlal, for example, Rav Yaakov Meidan, who gives unbelievable shiurim in Gemara, and unbelievably creative shiurim in Tanakh as well. And Rav Kook is a classic example that he is called Ish Eshkolot. That, what is Ish Eshkolot? Chazal say Ish Shekulobo. Where if you go through the 30-some-odd books of Rav Kook, you'll see unbelievable creativity and genius, also in Halacha, also in philosophy, also in Musar, also in Tanakh, also in Kabbalah, also in Chassidut, also in poetry. That is extremely rare. I think we mentioned once, the Maharal is along those lines also, that he writes on just about every topic. The Ramban also writes on just about every topic. But even somebody as great as the Rambam, Maimonides, there are some topics which he doesn't touch. He doesn't touch Kabbalah. He doesn't write poetry.
And didn't write on Tanakh.
Right? Although there is, Mosar Rav Kook put out a compilation of the Rambam's He'arot, his Chidushim on Tanakh, and there are some very, very interesting Chidushim there. But he didn't write a systematic commentary on Tanakh. And so Rav Kook maybe would be a Yotze Min HaKlal, and Davka, he, from somebody who is a specialist in so many different fields, somebody like that can critically or criticize others, you know, who might step out of bounds of their field. Maybe I'll just mention Rabbi Akiva, where at least two places in Shas, I remember Masechet Chagiga and one other place, where Rabbi Akiva gives a drasha, and his friends, the Tanaim, say, Akiva, ma lecha etzal hagadot, klech lecha etzal negaim va'olot. Whereas, why are you giving midrashim on agarita, on midrashim, philosophy? You're a halachic man. And anybody who's learned Rabbi Akiva knows that he was also this and also this and also that and also that. But the principle that a person should mainly stick to his focus on a specialty, that is the major point. Do you want to say something?
Okay. They wanted to pigeonhole him. It might also be because he came to Torah late, and they figured if he was doing something well that they knew about, he probably couldn't be that good in something else.
That's interesting. Interesting. והמובחר יצא רק מהסמים לילות כימים על עסקי תורתם המיוחדת להם. If you really want to learn Torah, don't learn from somebody who might be a great prime minister or somebody who might be a good archaeologist. Learn Torah from somebody who is learning Torah day and night and day and night, and he's learned also this and also Tanakh and also the written law and also Agarata and also Chassidut. Somebody who dedicates their entire life to learning Torah, that's from him, that's where you should learn. And maybe I'll also mention another point. And there's something that Rav Tzvi Yehuda used to say, that when it came to national issues, you know, everybody knows also historically, also halachically, Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, who was the leader of the Neturei Karta, the what they call the ultra-Orthodox element in Yerushalayim, he was an anti-Zionist. He didn't come close to Rav Kook in any field, and everybody knew that. But most importantly, when it comes to national questions, somebody once asked, I actually heard this several times, Rav Tzvi Yehuda, you know, if you look at the many of the great rabbis in his generation, Rav Kook, regarding the issue of Zionism, may have been, or super pro-Zionism, was in the minority. You know, when you look at some of the great rabbis in his time. So Rav Tzvi Yehuda used to answer exactly this point. In the question of Geula, in the question of the needs of Am Yisrael, of understanding the secularists, understanding the rebellion, understanding the socialists, the chalutzim, Rav Kook is the answer. He is the specialist. So even if theoretically, maybe, you know, on some given issue, maybe Rav Chaim Ozer Grudzinski or Rav Elchanan Wasserman, you know, may have been a greater poskim than Rav Kook, when it comes to national issues, understanding what's going on and how to relate to Zionism and secularists, Rav Kook was the specialist, because he also learned a lot of Kabbalah and a lot of Musar, and he knew these people face to face, especially after he made Aliyah in Tafir Samadal in 1904. You see a shifting gears, which we don't have to have time to go into, but there's a very clear, deeper understanding. Just finishing off. ובענייני תורה, כשנשים נגד עינינו רק אותן הידיעות הבאות לנו מחכמי תורה אמיתים, שכל שיחה וסיגן וכל עמלה מנעורי הם רק בתורת השם הוא. To learn Torah from those rabbanim, those rabbis, who from the time of their youth, they've been learning Torah full time, 24 hours a day. They didn't go to get their bachelor's or doctorates or anything on any other topic. Neida sha'anu ne'anim etza v'tushiya kedat shel Torah emet. We know to listen from them the etza v'tushiya. Here it's interesting. Chazal said the word tushiya, which is literally means dedication. Chazal say that's Torah Shebaal Peh, that's the oral law. And here also he might be inferring that Bialik or Ben-Gurion or these people, their Hebrew might be good, their dikduk might be good, their knowledge of Eretz Yisrael or archaeology or politics may be very good, but if they're not learning Torah full-time, and especially not the oral law, right, to learn Gemara takes a lot of years, then there's a good chance they're going to be off mark. Hasraf yotze min ha'etz. Here Rav Kook is tying it in with the Gemara. The sap, which comes, the syrup, which comes from all trees, gam shu oseh perot acherim ve'en ze ikar leichol, yafim hem lidyo. Yitparshu dvarim yiva'er ki kol echad hasagato v'chokhmato. Different saps, everyone, their sap is good for what it's good for. And even if you want to take sap from a tree which isn't made for ink, you could also, to a certain extent, use it. Right? Yeshotetu rabim v'terbeh hadat. You can gain knowledge from them. Ulifamim gam yediyat ha-ta'ut v'amichshol teitzei toelet, shechachamim amitim yakiru makom ha-petza v'apirtza lirapot ulitakein. Here's a new point. Rav Kook is saying that very often, davka the critical people who are coming from outside the yeshiva world, sometimes they are more objective. And their hava aminot, their questions, their criticism are good and legitimate criticism. That doesn't mean that their answers are accurate, but we can definitely, even when they're mistaken, it also helps the rabbis point out to the rabbis what is a common misconception, what is a common havamina, what's a possible havamina. And that also, we can get pleasure, benefit from the sap of other plants, even if it's not the best plant for this particular use. That is obviously what Rav Kook is saying, is the rabbis do have to listen and know what other specialists in other fields, at least what they're asking. If not, what they're, maybe even what they're explaining. And if you want to disagree, so point out and explain why they're off track. Umnam, hamuvchar husraf kataf. The best sap for making ink is the sap which is cut out for that, which is from the fruit itself. Usually when you get sap from a tree, from a, an apple tree, you can get sap, but the sap is a side benefit. When we're talking about a balsam tree, the Itzafar Simon, the kataf, that is its essence. That is its specialty. That's what it's grown for. Okay, it's a very nice explanation. Shamru alav beperakama denida kat kitfo zel perio. Chazal say about our tree that we're talking about, our plant, that it's the kataf is the fruit. That's what it's grown for. And again, specialty, especially Torah specialty, that's the best way. Klomar hadvarim amidbarim v'nirshamim mipiotam achachamim shuikar pri chokhmatam ma she'alu al sefer chuka, when they write it down in a book. Again, that's the symbolism of the ink. V'saraf kataf yafeh mikulam. There is, all of the oils are good for ink. Keep your ears open. Listen. Be pluralistic. Tolerant. Listen to other commentaries. Sometimes, even if it's not their field of specialty, nevertheless, saraf kataf yafeh mikulam mipnei shehu pirio amiuchad lo. If it's somebody's specialty, especially when we're talking about Torah, then pay that much more attention.
Yeah.